Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Once again, sharing positive insights on how to live a longer and healthier life. We begin with a study from Shenyun Translational Medical Research Hospital in China, published in Critical Reviews in Food Science Nutrition. They took a look at many studies. It's called a meta-analysis. And they found that reductions in body weight, your body mass index, is possible with green tea. And that's important because we don't want a high body mass index. We don't want a large waist for circumference, and we certainly don't want to be overweight because that can lead to a lot of other illnesses and a premature lifespan. Quote, green tea has substantial interest with its beneficial effects on weight loss and reducing diabetic and cardiovascular risk. Several studies have suggested that green tea assists with weight loss in overweight and obese people, end quote. So they analyzed 15 separate high-quality studies involving green tea and BMI, body mass index, and they found that those who took 1,000 milligrams of green tea per day and for 8 weeks had substantially, significantly reduced their body mass index. So just one thing. Now, we're not talking about exercise, which is important, and eating the right calories, which is important, and fasting. And no, we're just talking about green tea. Now, another university study, this is the University of Messina in Italy, they found that the isoflavones, I-S-O-F-L-A-V-O-N-E-S, and calcium and vitamin D and inulin, I-N-U-L-I-N, improve the quality of life, sexual function, body composition, and metabolic parameters in menopausal women. So this is important. Quote, menopause results in metabolic changes that contribute to increased risk of cardiovascular disease, increase in low-density lipoprotein, which is bad, triglycerides, which is bad, and decrease in the high-density lipoprotein, or the HDL, which is the good cholesterol. Weight gain are associated with correspondent increase in incidence of hypertension and diabetes. The aim of this study was to evaluate the effect of a preparation of isoflavones, calcium, vitamin D, and inulin in menopausal women, end quote. So they took a group of 50 women, and they gave them an oral preparation. And this is not a lot, 40 milligrams of isoflavones. I would start with 200. Calcium, 500 milligrams, if it was twice a day, but it's only once a day. Vitamin D, 300 international units, and inulin, 3 grams, or a placebo. And after 12 months, there was a significant reduction in a vasomotor that impacts women, and the women had improvements in all these different things. So, one more reason to take your multiple vitamin supplements and eat a healthy plant-based diet, because everything you're asking them to do, it's in a healthy plant-based diet. From the University of Helsinki, which of course is in Finland, they looked at 600,000 individuals, and they found that sleep problems put individuals at risk of respiratory infections. Well, that's something new. In fact, sleep problems also increase the risk of COVID-19 infections requiring hospitalizations. And so that's not good. But it also increases your risk of other infections. So if you have insomnia, and they found that those who had insomnia had a 600% increase risk of influenza, more than 4 times higher compared to other participants. So what's the problem? Well, there are a lot of problems, not the least of which is stress. Trying to think yourself to sleep doesn't work. So how do you deal with that? What's a positive solution? I came up with this almost 50 years ago when I was doing a sleep study. Have people write down, in order of priority, their most stressful points that they've got to deal with, and have them write it down as if I'm going to deal with this starting tomorrow. This is my first stressful thing. My second, third, fourth, fifth. And that way, you read it over and out loud as you're sitting on the bed. Tomorrow I'm going to deal with, and then you just fill in the blank. That's one way. that suddenly changes the messages going from one hemisphere of the brain to the other, and therefore it doesn't cause you that stress that keeps you up. Secondly, don't eat anything within 4 hours of going to sleep. Third, make sure that you don't have a lot of water before you go to bed. Have it earlier, so your body's hydrated, but also the excess water you're able to urinate out. Because otherwise you're going to wake up in the middle of the night 2, 3, 4, 5 times and have to urinate. Next, don't have any caffeine in any beverage at least 5 hours before you go to sleep. That means chocolate, carbonated beverages, coffee. All right? Then also, try to have some melatonin, 1 to 3 milligrams, theanine, T-H-E-O-N-I-N-E, which is the calming agent in green tea. Magnesium and calcium, 500 milligrams of each, and makes it much more likely you're going to go into a deep sleep and stay there, all right? And turn off all the lights. If there's any light, just use one of the iPads that Gentle is generally made out of cotton, but it can be also made out of silk. Just put it across your eyes, much like you see people wearing on an airplane. And also, if there's noise, just put earplugs in. And if there's electromagnetic pulses, like from cell phones, laptops, television, just unplug it. That's how you have a good night's sleep without interference. Now, from an Okinawa University in Japan comes a study about a self-administered aroma foot massage can reduce the symptoms of anxiety. Now, I'm sure you've all heard of reflexology. I hope you've actually tried it. It really is very good because each part of your foot has nerves that conduct impulses and electrical messages to different parts of the body. And it's kind of starting at the top of the foot, the toes, and that goes to the forehead, the middle of the face, the neck. And then as you go down the foot, it just goes right down your body. So you're massaging your own feet for about 15 minutes. And you use any kind of oil that relaxes you. Lavender is probably the best. But that's what they found. These foot massages reduce stress and anxiety. All right? Something simple, easy to do, and doesn't cost anything. From Shandong University in China comes a study published in the peer-reviewed Nutrition. Ginger is linked to healthier hearts. Now, every time I saute at a low flame, starting off with using coconut oil or macadamia oil or mustard seed oil, those are the three oils you start your cooking with because they're very high heat resistant. So if your flame is at 250 degrees and the burn level in these where it oxidizes at 400 degrees, you've got plenty of room. But if you started off cooking with, let's say, olive oil, it'll oxidize much faster. Therefore, you won't get the benefit of the olive oil. So you start off with a low temperature, saute your vegetables, and then put in you can put in fresh ginger, shave it. Just shave it, and it'll get liquefied. But the flavor and the healing ingredients in ginger then go out into the vegetables. You can do the same thing with garlic and onion. And that way you have a nice flavorful dish, but ginger is really good for your heart. In fact, according to this study, if you consume ginger on a daily basis, maybe have a 1-inch piece in a juice, or maybe take that same 1-inch piece and saute it and then put it into your brown rice. And it's going to make a big difference because it can reduce the risk of many chronic conditions, including high blood pressure, coronary heart disease, all right? So there are thousands of studies on ginger. We're not using it as other countries do. The Italians, the French, the Spanish, they use a lot of ginger. We don't. From the University of Montana, they found that air pollution affects short-term memory and your IQ and your brain metabolic ratios. Just living in cities City smog lowers your children's IQ. Even when you can't see the pollution, the particulate matter is there. This is among the findings from a recent University of Montana study that found children living in cities with significant air pollution are at an increased risk of detrimental impacts to the brain, including short-term memory loss and lower IQ. So, what do you do? Well, the first thing you do is you fill your apartment to the degree you can with plants that absorb pollutants and give you oxygen. That's a great exchange. You feel better being close to green plants, and there's a whole list of plants that are perfect for apartments or homes inside. Okay? And just go up on the line and Google in indoor healthy plants. Then get yourself a quality air filter. Now, for those of you who've ever come to the health retreats we do as fundraisers for our sister station, you'll notice in every room there's these large white looking contraptions. Well, those are state-of-the-art air filters. You don't find those in any stores. They have five levels of filtration, ultraviolet light, and they get right down to the single micron. So anything in the air is going to get filtered, viruses, bacteria, particulate matter. And you'll see them in the gym, in the dining rooms, in the lecture room, in the theater, etc. Now that's already in a pristine, pure environment where there's no pollution up in the hills with great outdoor air coming through and outside. It's just a double precaution. You should get yourself the finest air filter that you can afford, because it's more important than any other appliance in your home. And you put it on and try this. Seal all your windows. Close your windows. All right? And then wipe down all your countertops and tables. Now let that go for 5 days. Don't clean them again. And even with your door shut, your windows shut, you're going to have a film of particulate dust matter all over your apartment or home. So even when you're not aware that something is happening, it's happening. We only become aware when there's a huge fire in Canada and suddenly it's a health hazard in New York and all the states that it went through. And then people suddenly say, oh, what should I do? By that time, they probably sold out of the quality air filters. A good quality air filter, the one that I would suggest, would run anywhere between $700 to $1,500. And I bought the best I could afford at $1,500. And they generally would do about 1,500 square feet. So 1,500 square feet, for most people, that's their whole apartment if you live in New York. If it's a house, depending upon the size of the house, it's going to be maybe two air filters. And you can set them on different levels, and you don't hear them. But if there's a lot of air pollution, you turn them up on high, it's going to protect you. It's a really good investment, and they last for a long time. In fact, I've had mine for over one of them for 30 years. I just clean the filters every 3 months, and they're good to go. Or if you have a replacement filter, they'll still last you about 6 months. And then you just replace the filter. Just a suggestion, all right? And that's all we have today on health and healing. We have a lot of good stuff coming at you right after the break. But I also want you to know that you can get a lot more information, a daily dose of A Classroom on the Air. It's free. It's a public service. And I video stream them. And right now I'm not doing any because our video streaming we're upgrading it, and my equipment's up in New York. But hopefully in a week we'll be back to video stream. But not to worry, if you started watching one video per day, it would take you 3 years to watch all the videos. There's a lot of them up there. And they're all described, and they're free to go to Gary Noll YouTube or Rumble or Odyssey. And the article that I read yesterday on the air concerning ivermectin and why was it being attacked, that's on GaryNull.com. Share it with everyone. It'll make a difference. Being better informed with good scholarship that's objective, not biased, that looks for the truth, not an ideological support system. We need a lot more of that in our lives. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Over the next part of our program, I'm going to be sharing some audio clips about Dr. Peter Hotez. He was involved in a controversy. He had appeared on Joe Rogan on a regular basis, but then attacked Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So Rogan suggested, why don't you just debate him? We'll raise some money for a charity. Well, that money is now up to about $2.5 million. Hotez then said he wouldn't debate because scientists don't debate. Really? Well, okay, if that's what you believe, but the rest of science shares a different point of view. No, as long as you publish your results, no. First of all, up to 67% of all published science cannot be replicated, which means it's junk science. But if you have debates and discussions, civil, of course, you'll have a chance to see whether or not your ideas are even plausible. I remember at the Institute of Applied Biology for 38 years, no study was approved unless you first debated the issue with other scientists. And if they said, no, makes no sense, waste of money, you didn't get funded. No, and even after you do have something, it doesn't mean that it's settled. Science is always evolving. I mean, just his mindset would have us believe that DDT is settled, it's safe. There was no debate, just a consensus. Aldrin, Heptachlor, Agent Orange, 245D, all the people poisoned in Vietnam and all the American GIs poisoned in Vietnam, well, that didn't happen. Really? And all the deaths that happened down at the World Trade Center, that didn't happen. But it did. I see. If you had open debate, if you had people from various points of view sharing their ideas, that's how you move science along. That's how you stop the false science, the pseudoscience, and realize that not everything should be based upon science. But open debate, you bet. So he doesn't want to debate, but he immediately appeared on these softball, meaning very soft questions, on MSNBC and argued his point that real science doesn't debate. Well, then I would challenge that you are not a real scientist. Yes, you're an MD, PhD. What have you actually achieved that's helped us on this planet? Let's discuss that in some length. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about BlackRock. Now, I remember telling everyone on repeated occasions that BlackRock, the most powerful corporation in the world, because of its controlling investors' money, and people are not even aware that their pension funds could be used by BlackRock. Then BlackRock buys shares in different corporations. They get a commission out of that, and hopefully then the people get a guaranteed increase in their pensions because of the wise investment. Well, they don't want that right now. They seem to be telling us we've got to convince people, force people to do what we want them to do. Well, that's not good. Who says that? BlackRock's founder and on the board of the Council on Foreign Relations and the World Economic Forum, he says it in his own words. And also, for 16 years, we had no real, honest and open discussion on investigation because either Chuck Schumer wouldn't allow it or Nancy Pelosi wouldn't allow it. And if they don't green light an investigation, it doesn't happen. So now we've got, at least in the House, open and honest investigations. I want you to hear how Jim Jordan confronts Rachel Walensky, head of the CDC, and using her own words to show that she has repeatedly misinformed the public. And yet how many people says, well, the head of the CDC, a woman, a medical doctor, she wouldn't lie to us. That's what you want to believe. Oh, and by the way, almost all the top 10 military-industrial complex corporations are run by women. So try not to involve gender in the idea that power is an equalizing factor. It is not. Doesn't matter what your gender, doesn't matter what your ethnicity, doesn't matter what your culture. If you intend to do things for your own and your shareholders' benefit, then look at what you do, the outcome, not who you are. So we're going to get into all this. Then I'm going to ask you to call in and share your points of view. However, before that, I just want to share a few comments for the next 10 minutes. And this deals with where I see New York City and Chicago and some other outstanding cities, where they're going. Now, there are those people who will adapt to any environment, and then they maladapt to the worst parts of that environment. For example, if because you don't have enough taxpayer money coming in, let's say from commercial real estate, which is a big part of the budget of New York City, and the other coming from the people who own their apartments, and then the state taxes, then how are you going to offer people the services? You can't. You have to cut back the services. But governments don't like to cut back on their agencies and their budgets. They just ask for more, always more. Then you never, never hear of governments saying, maybe we should rethink what we're doing because we seem to be spending an awful lot of money and not getting any good results out of it. That's the nature of bureaucracies. They're unthinking. They just engorge themselves. Now, you might say, well, Gary, it can't be that bad. I mean, look, yeah, so we have a few taxes that we're all susceptible to, but so what? You got to have those taxes. And I say, I agree, you do have to have some taxes, but when do you stop? When do you start looking at, are we doing things efficiently? Are we doing things based on meritocracy? Are we just so corrupt we're incapable of seeing how we're spending like drunken soldiers because there's no negative outcome to us? Okay, but let me give you some taxes. Maybe you hadn't thought about this. Here's what all of you who engage in normal life activities pay. First of all, you pay a whopping property tax and a sales tax and state income tax, a marriage license fees, local school taxes, vehicle registration tax, business registration and permit fees, waste management tax, cigarette tax, court fees, dog license tax, driver's license fees, Social Security taxes. Even though it's your money, the government doesn't put a penny into Social Security, but it takes it out, $22 trillion. You pay a gift tax, an unemployment tax, estate tax, fishing license fees, garbage tax, gasoline tax, gun ownership fees, highway toll fees, motel tax, hunting license fees, import tax, individual health insurance tax, inheritance tax, insect control tax, inspection fees, IRS interest and penalty charges, that's a tax on tax, library card fees, license plate fees, liquor tax, luxury tax, Medicare tax, parking meter fees, passport fees, air transportation tax, a fuel tax, a professional licenses fees, recreational vehicle tax, self-employment tax, sewer and water tax, service charge taxes, sports stadium tax, state park entrance fees, tanning tax, 911 service tax, telephone federal excise and universal service fees, a tire tax, and then, of course, the big one, federal income tax. So just remember, instead of allowing the government at any level to change, become more effective, focusing upon supporting what will help a society, they just spend more money and grow and don't solve any problems. That's just the way it is. Now, back to my point. My point is, I want to use San Francisco and Los Angeles as two examples of what we've maladapted to. I saw it when I was back in New York 2 weeks ago. I saw it where neighborhoods look the same, lots of people out, but younger people, especially in the evenings. Didn't used to be that way. Went to Lincoln Center, but I was told that very few people now are going into the different venues, opera, ballet. And I went into a movie at Lincoln Center, great movie, Only two of us in the theater. Walk up and down the street. No one's at the theater. Why? They can watch Netflix and other streaming services. I saw every one of the major intersections, such as 57th and Broadway, and then going clear up 59th Street, 65th Street, 72nd Street, 79th, 86th Street, and 96th Street. These are, and the corners, those are your prime real estate locations for traffic and store traffic. They were all closed, boarded. But if you walk up and down the street and all the stores or most of them on a given block are boarded, you adapt to that. Then you realize there's just as many people now as there was in New York. We had a lot of people leave, almost 500,000, but it was replaced by another 500,000. But those are different people. They have different ideas. A lot of young people, they don't go out. They don't go to a women's store, men's store, shoe store, shoe repair store. They don't go to the local barbershop. They, you know, they do a lot of stuff inside. I see. So that changes. You bet it changes. And think of how many people who had small businesses, restaurants and haberdashers, they were put on a rent moratorium during COVID. But that meant that when the moratorium was over, which it now is, they owed all that back rent and all the back taxes. Nobody could afford that. They just left, closed down. They're gone. And then you start looking at the 40,000 small businesses that closed permanently. Well, where did those people go to? They had to go to places they could afford to live, because clearly New York City is not where an average person could afford to live, not when the average rent is now above $3,100 a month, and these are not for good apartments. So, apartment prices go up, rents go up, but then in comes the people not working from offices anymore, and upwards of 40% of commercial real estate, the big offices, are empty. Well, what happens when those people didn't pay down the mortgage, but instead kept the money? We own the building. We're having a boom year. It's 2016, 2017, 18, 19. So let's take the profit that we're making by getting as much rent as we can from commercial tenants or residents, and let's buy a new house. Let's do something with that money. We'll always make more. And then it stops. Then you're broke. Unless you're a big insurance company or a big real estate company that pays cash and can afford to write down even if they don't have cash. But now you're facing a $1,500,000,000 in the next 2.5 years that you owe the banks. The banks cannot afford that loss. So, and bonds cannot afford to take that thumping. And a lot of people make the mistake of going into bonds. So what's happening? What's happening is that as the rent rolls are declining precipitously, then both the big bucks coming in to run a city's government isn't there. So now the government has to cut back on services. Which services will they cut back on? Well, they won't cut back on the services that impact their high-end voters, the richest. So the garbage will still be picked up on a regular basis on Park Avenue and Fifth Avenue, etc. But now you develop a mindset of a green zone and everyone else. And the green zone are the rich and powerful. They can afford their own private security. But everywhere else, you can't. And it's not organized. So you walk by pounds of garbage. You walk down graffiti streets. You walk where there are people who clearly need to be receiving mental help and not in a jail, not arrested, but real help. And there's none to be given. And now those people are acting out. What do? We adapt to it. We adapt to the dysfunction of a city, and it's slow. It's like, well, I got a tumor, but I'm not going to pay attention to it right now. You should, but we don't. We don't pay attention to anything in America until we're at a crisis point. And that's right across the whole country. I can give you 1,000 examples. The first is 93% of Americans actively eat garbage every day, knowing that it can cause disease, but thinking, like my older brother and other people that unfortunately had the same mindset where I grew up, well, I know someone who lived to be 100 and they smoked every day. Yeah, and did you also look at the 300,000 who tried and died? But these are intellectually limited individuals, especially my family. God, I wished I could check my DNA further back. There had got to have been someone that had some common sense. But no, everybody followed the consensus. Everybody smoked. It must be okay. But it's not. And so as a result, look at San Francisco. Just 3 years ago, there was zero, and I mean zero, empty space on the ground. There was no empty space in the buildings. And now it's the most empty commercial space of any major city in America per population. And that means the city doesn't have the income, which means that the customer, the social services are not going to be given. And on top of that, you have the worst management from the ideological point of view. It's okay. We do not want to touch a person that's stealing because that's an invasion of their body rights and autonomy. So they can steal small business person, large business person, $950, and we won't arrest them. And who's running it? The gangs are. They're smart. They take the derelicts. They're charging them rent anyhow, providing them with their drugs. And they say, you take the shopping cart in, you get it all that you can, you come back out, and then do it again. How many of those shopping carts at $950 can a small business afford until they're broke? And now we're seeing it. But it's still, they don't change it. We don't change anything. And they don't. People in power never give up that power, nor do they comport that power to what the people need. No. They're drunk on power. And therefore, a system can collapse, much like Caligula's Rome. Until finally someone says, what the hell are we doing? And we adapt, and we maladapt. Parents maladapted to the schools, didn't pay attention to the curriculum. Now they are paying attention. People adapted to the wrong things, so the cities began to decay, like a tumor that began to spread. And as the businesses went out, then the empty lofts went out, and then the people who are spending money who work there, who go buy lunch or go buy dinner or go to a local gym or go buy some sneakers, they stopped. They didn't have to come in anymore. So who's going to take place this? No one. Because who in the hell wants to go into San Francisco? There's a video up on the internet shows a person walking down a street, filming side to side. Every single store is closed. And this is in its richest area. And then you start seeing vandalism up on the hill, the richest where the tech billionaires live. One guy who's a tech person, I don't know his wealth, but it's a very expensive house, probably $10, $15 million. He's had his house broken into 10 times. He even shows you a mattress on the floor. We had to hire someone to spend the night. But even if he found someone breaking in, he couldn't touch the person, couldn't defend himself. That's the rules. So if someone's attacking you, you just have to take it. After all, if that person beats you in the face, breaks your jaw, and if they should cut their fist in the process, they have a right to sue you. This is the crazy-ass nature of the city we're living in. So you're going to accept all that? You're going to tolerate that? Then you're a fool. But then again, we're a nation of fools, at least half of us, because we haven't found our voice at any point to talk about anything that was wrong. Senior citizens eating cat food, it's not my business. 7 million homes foreclosed on, 26 million, not my business. But you lived across the street from those people for 25 years. They were your friends. Yes, they were. You're looking out the blinds of them being, you know, having all their furniture put out in the yard with two armed marshals saying you got 1 hour to get everything out. And if it's not out, you're done. Did you go out to help them? No, we don't do that in America. We'll go hunt a dog that's lost and one that's in a river. Then that touches our heart. But our neighbors, not so much. Our body politic, not so much. And where are the religions in America? Of any faith, where in the hell are you? Oh, I forgot. Shame on me for confusing spirituality with religion. Whoa. It's an embarrassment of excess, of neglect, hubris, indifference. So where are the people who are self-righteously telling their congregations, no matter what their religion, love one another? Why aren't you loving all the homeless kids and the hungry kids? 16 million up, no shortage to find. And 200 million Americans can't write you a check for $1,000, living off their credit cards, waiting for their home or office, whatever it is, to be foreclosed on. Where are you? Where's anyone? And that's how they got to allow America to become a metastasized cancer. But first in the big cities controlled by George Soros and his sycophants, And now it's spreading. So what you see in San Francisco, where you dare not go out because you could get beaten, raped, and nothing would happen to the perpetrator in most cases. And they cut back on the police force, except those in power. Then they want the armed guards. What hypocrisy. And then you go to Los Angeles and you've got 58 straight blocks where it's nothing but tent city. And you live in a $2 million apartment above that. It used to be fine. You used to go downstairs, get on your bike, run, go to shops, have fun. Now you look down and think, when is it safe for me to go out of my building? Can I sell my building? The broker says, who's going to want to buy this? Nobody wants to come into Los Angeles. It's a dump, all right? Yet as long as there's a place where red carpets can be rolled out and 500 armed private guards can get the titled self, the narcissistic baby celebrities to walk into a movie as if somehow that's reality, but then go back home and live behind your gated walls with your private security armed forces. What if you're just a regular person? Then you're not in the green zone. You're in La La Land. So look at Los Angeles, look at San Francisco. I bet my life that New York City, Philadelphia, Chicago, Phoenix, St. Louis, Atlanta, and are going to become that because no one is looking at the consequences. When a town runs out of money, it runs out of services. And when you can't get the services, then you maladapt to the circumstances and they're not going to get better. My solution is move to a place that is based upon respecting each other, having the freedom to live your life as you see fit, not being taxed to death by incompetent, corrupt politicians, aren't they all, with a few exceptions? Just a thought, because that's what I saw. When other people saw New York City as normal, I looked a little deeper, and I saw what's coming. When I walked down the street and I saw at least 50 people just walk around, a person with a long steel rod swinging at people, trying to hit them, what do you think would happen if you got hit right in the eyes with probably about a 5-pound steel rod? What do you think would happen? He was hitting cars, and this is at Lincoln Center. He was just walking, screaming, and everybody just adapted. I didn't see a single phone come out to say, hey, we got a person here that needs some help, and he's a danger to himself and the society. No. When you start adapting to the wrong in your environment, then you've just created your own maladaptive epigenetic future. Now we're going to go to a clip, and I'd like your opinion. 888-874-4888. Because until you change the body politics, you're not going to change the power structure that mismanages states, local communities, etc. Now we're going to go over and we're going to hear about Dr. Peter Hotez and what's going on that you should pay attention to, because I'm going to share some additional in-depth information with you. And also we're going to do a special program on what's happening by the end of July when they're going to a digital currency. You should all be really concerned about that because they can take away your cash. I can hide the cash, Gary. No, you can't, because they're going to say by this date, if you don't turn in all your cash, and then that cash will become worthless. So therefore, everything will be digitized. And boy, they're pushing down as hard as they can to get this to happen as fast as they can before people become aware of it. We'll be making you aware of it in detail. Let's go to the clip, please.
Well, the internet is practically begging for a debate around vaccines between Dr. Peter Hotez, challenging Democratic presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., about vaccines in a sort of civilized debate. Now, this came after RFK Jr. appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast, and Dr. Hotez decided to tweet something antagonistic about it. And now users are chiming in saying, well, how about you just sit down and show us where we got it wrong? Now, this is one of JFK Jr.'s big lines, is when he's challenged on his vaccine research, he says, show me where I got it wrong. Most of the time, people do not take the opportunity to do that. So we have Dan Cohen with us because he is a redacted correspondent and because he has been warning us about this Dr. Hotez for a long time. So, Dan, would you like to provide some context for this story? Remind us who this dude is and what should we be watching around this debate?
Well, obviously, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a threat to Biden, threat to the establishment. He's going on all the podcasts, all the big shows, and he's pointing out that, you know, so many flaws with Biden, with the Biden administration, what he'd do differently. And one of his big things, of course, is vaccine safety, which is a key issue, of course, over the last few years. And Robert F. Kennedy and his organization, Children's Health Defense, have provided a ton of information on vaccine safety and really become kind of an obsession of the Biden administration, of Big Pharma, to discredit and destroy him. So when he announced, he was called a kook, a conspiracy theorist, an anti-vaxxer by basically all of the mainstream media. And then he went on Rogan's show, which is, of course, far more popular than CNN or MSNBC. And Rogan says, well, let's have a debate between you and Peter Hotez. And Hotez has appeared repeatedly on Rogan's podcast. And Hotez rejects it online and starts this incredible Twitter storm where I would say he really lost. I mean, he was exposed as a fraud, as basically refusing to debate. He just wants to go on friendly shows. The only show he actually went on since this whole thing exploded is MSNBC to talk with Mehdi Hasan. Let's watch this clip.
But in science, we don't typically do debates. What we do is we write scientific papers, we present our findings in front of a critical audience of our peers to solicit their input and suggestions. But one doesn't typically debate science, maybe the one-off discussion of evolution versus creationism and that sort of thing. But that's not what we do in science.
So there, Mehdi Hasan provides the softball interview where he's already agreeing with him all the way through for Peter Hotez, where Peter Hotez says, well, I don't do debates. Scientists don't do debates, as if that is a rule of science. Meanwhile, he's just going on television all the time, whether on MSNBC or CNN or Fox, or BBC, any of these outlets on a near daily basis for the past 3 years. Well, that's not really typically a thing doctors do either. But there's no hard and fast rules. So what Peter Hotez wants is to only go on channels where he will not be challenged. I mean, the only time he's ever been challenged is when he went on Rogan last time in the infamous clip where he was asked about his general eating habits and health habits. Do you exercise? And, you know, do you eat well? And he admitted that he eats horrible and he never exercises. And he was exposed. He was embarrassed. And Rogan said, well, you just want people to inject themselves with chemicals. But I mean, the bigger point is that the problem is not, to me, that Peter Hotez doesn't want to debate. The problem is that Peter Hotez wants to take anyone who questions or dissents from the sort of COVID biosecurity state regime that's been rolled out really throughout the past three years and actually criminalize them, put them in prison. He has made clear in his articles, in his media appearances, he wants the Biden administration, the UN, the World Health Organization, NATO, to combat what he calls anti-science aggression, which is just a term he made up to describe anyone who he doesn't like. And he wants it to be illegal. So he doesn't want to debate or shut. He doesn't want to debate RFK or Rogan or Elon Musk or Tucker Carlson, the four people that he listed as, you know, these dangerous minds. He wants to actually criminalize them. He wants to lock them up, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's just an incredibly dangerous proposal. And the fact that he has so much institutional power behind him, whether from the Gates Foundation, the U.S. government, USAID. He's a charlatan, a fraud, and really a dangerous character.
Right. You mentioned that he's received money from the Bill and Gates Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which funds and benefits from vaccines around the world, in addition to the COVID vaccine, more than that. Can you remind us a little bit more about the piece you did? I mean, you warned us about this guy 4 months ago, so we credit you for that. And can you just, so we don't have to seek it back out, remind us more of his compromising financial ties?
Well, if you look at the history of Peter Hotez, going back to his earliest days, the earliest documented history of him in the 1980s, he was paid by Pfizer coming out of school. He not long after got he got more Pfizer money. Then eventually he got hooked up with the Clinton Global Initiative. And so that connected him to the Gates Foundation, where he's gotten millions and millions of dollars from Bill Gates. You can here, let's show this clip of Bill Gates actually saying that Peter Hotez is a key partner.
One of the foundation's key partners is Professor Peter Hotez, who's doing inspiring work on tropical diseases. And we're very excited about being able to back some breakthroughs there and have a huge impact.
So Peter Hotez gets tapped into Gates Money Foundation, and then that turns into USAID. That turns into USAID money. So the Bush administration, and then the Obama administration, with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, turned something called neglected tropical diseases into a gigantic industrial complex. Neglected tropical diseases, all that means is diseases and maladies that you get from lack of sanitation. So human hookworm is one of them. I mean, there are a number of them, and they result from lack of sanitation, lack of clean water. So this is in impoverished, exploited third world countries that have been pillaged by the US and Europe for centuries, and that's why they're underdeveloped. And meanwhile, the Bill Gates and Peter Hotez, instead of saying, well, okay, let's put our billions of dollars into helping these countries develop their infrastructure, well, instead they want to just say, no, we're just going to try to create basically medical treatments, injections, in order to stop these maladies, but it never actually stops them. It just, at best, it treats them. So it's permanently produced.
Okay, it goes on, but you get the message. Now, here's something from Us Right to Know from Emily Knapp. Quote, critic of congressional probe, that's who we're talking about now, Peter Hotez, probe into gain-of-function research helped fund the Wuhan gain-of-function study. Quote, a prominent scientist who has denounced a congressional investigation into gain-of-function research helped fund Wuhan Institute of Virology gain-of-function work flagged by congressional investigators. Peter Hotez, dean of the Baylor College of Medicine National School of Tropical Medicine, has been a fierce critic of potential hearings next year into a possible lab origin of COVID-19 and whether the National Institute of Health prematurely discredited the hypothesis. Hotez decried the hearings as nothing less than, quote, a plan to undermine the fabric of science in America, end quote, in a viral tweet thread last week. Hotez also dismissed as, quote, an outlandish conspiracy the possibility that lab accidents sparked the COVID pandemic. However, Hotez's own, and here's where it's important, and this is where your deep scholarship comes in. Listen carefully. Hotez's own 2012 to 2017, that's 5 years, National Institute of Health grant for the development of a SARS vaccine had the stated aim of responding to any, quote, accidental release from a laboratory, end quote, in addition to a possible zoonotic spillover of the virus. The $6.1 million National Institute of grant also raised the possibility, quote, of deliberate spreading of the virus by bioterrorist attack, end quote. Quote, SARS outbreaks remains a serious concern, mainly due to possible zoonotic reintroduction of SARS into humans, accidental release from the laboratory, or deliberate spreading of the virus by a bioterrorist attack, end quote. Now that's in his grant's description. So he's contradicting himself now. So, also, and this is important, Hotez helped fund research on the controversial coronavirus research. So what do we know now? We do know now from the first three people to get coronavirus, they worked in the laboratory. So there's almost an absolute certainty that it came from that laboratory. And that's not being denied anymore, except by people who actually were given money, and that money was used in research through National Institutes of Grants, and then they work with the Wuhan lab doing that gain-of-function research. So he would really be under a heavy pressure if he had to acknowledge that, yeah, he was trading research with the lab scientist at Wuhan. Just want to share that with you because it then lays out the possibility of a strong bias that we weren't supposed to know about. Probably one of the reasons he doesn't want people to debate him on the issue. Now, here's a short clip of what BlackRock just said, and you should be concerned about it. Listen to this person in their own words in full context, what they believe is about to happen because they're going to cause it to happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, what BlackRock just said will send shivers down your spine. And if you don't know who BlackRock is, well, BlackRock is just the biggest hedge fund in the world. They have assets under management of $10 trillion. And you know when the Federal Reserve did all their money printing in 2020 and 2021 and started buying bonds and corporate bonds? Do you know who facilitated those transactions from the largest central bank in the world? That's right, BlackRock was the one that facilitated that. We are seeing BlackRock become more interconnected with the U.S. government, with the U.S. banking system, and they have a complete monopoly. But guess what? They have much bigger ambitions than just the U.S., and they're now coming for the whole world. They're going to be funding everything that's going on in Ukraine and the rebuild. But in today's video, I'm going to be going over specifically what's been happening over the past month. We've been seeing company after company make what seems like a terrible financial decision for their business. They've been forcing down consumers' throats a certain agenda, and I think we all know what that is. And consumers have been boycotting companies, for example, like Bud Light, for example, like Target. But they're just the most two recent, most popular cases. There's far more companies doing this. So a lot of people are wondering, why now? Why are they forcing this agenda down our throat so hard? Because it doesn't make any business sense at all, because these companies' stock prices have been getting hammered. Well, guess what? We all knew why they were doing this, but now we have the answer from the man himself, Larry Fink, saying why they're going to do this. And guess what they're saying? They're saying they're going to force this upon you, whether you like it or not. Let's go to the clip.
You now make a point of that's an investment criteria for you.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added four more points in terms of diverse employment. And what we are doing internally is if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay?
We're doing the same thing.
And so it's just, you have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. And that's not recruiting, it is development, as Ken said. And ultimately, it's still going to take time, but I am just as much shocked as Ken is that we have not seen more opportunities, and we're going to have to force.
Well, maybe you haven't seen the opportunities because a lot of people don't want you and others who are unelected to tell them what they should believe, how they should act, what they should purchase. We're going to say goodbye to WBAI, and we're going to continue to the top of the program, and I've got a clip I want to play you just a little bit of. This is what happens when you have Congress allowed to investigate crimes against humanity, which wasn't allowed for the last 16 years. Let's hear the clip where a congressman is challenging Dr. Lewinsky, head of the CDC.
I now recognize Mr. Jordan from Ohio for
Thank you,
minutes.
Mr. Chairman. Doctor, why did you and the Biden administration mislead the American people?
You'd have to say more.
March 29, 2021, vaccinated people do not carry the virus. Vaccinated people don't get sick. We got that information from clinical trials, but also real-world data. Seems to me there are a number of statements you make in there that aren't accurate. Do vaccinated people carry the virus?
In March of 2021, the vast majority of data demonstrated that the vast majority of people were not getting infected if they were vaccinated.
That's not what you said. You didn't say the vast majority of people. You said vaccinated people do not carry the virus. Was that accurate?
It was generally accurate.
Generally accurate. Why not just be accurate? Why not just tell the American people the truth? Why don't you say to the American people just what you said to me? We're big boys and girls. We pay your salary. The government is supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. Why not just tell us the truth?
I was speaking...
Was 6 weeks later when you said if you were to get infected during post-vaccination, you can't give it to anyone else. Was that accurate?
What was the date of that?
May 19, 2021.
At the time, we had the Wuhan strain and then the Alpha strain. That was the Alpha strain that was circulating. That was generally true, yeah.
Generally true again? Why not again? Why not tell the American people this is generally true?
I couldn't tell you the exact data on the vaccine effectiveness of symptomatic disease and severe disease at the time. What I can tell you is that we generally saw that if you were to get infected after you had been vaccinated, that you were not carrying the virus by transmitting it to somebody else. You could not transmit it to others.
But we know that's not accurate.
It was at the time. Now, what
really?
Happened? Yes, in May of 2021, that was true
really?
For the Alpha variant. What happened?
Let me ask you about all the general statements that were made to the American people. Not general statements, the way you guys said it. You said, "Was it our tax dollars? Were our tax dollars used in the lab in China?"
That is something that you would have to speak to NIH about.
Our tax dollars were used. It sure looks like it was gain-of-function research. It sure looks like it actually came from the lab, and we've had several agencies, federal agencies, say that's, in fact, where the virus originated. The Biden administration told us that the vaccinated couldn't get it. We know that's not accurate. The Biden administration told us the vaccinated couldn't transmit it. They told us masks worked, and they told us there was no such thing as natural immunity. That seems to me to be, what, seven different statements that turned out not to be true that we got from this administration. Again, why not just tell the American people the truth?
So I would dispute some of what you just said. In October 2021.
Everything she is trying to defend was a lie, because now with over 500,000 documents released from the vaccine manufacturers by court order, and those have been reviewed by 3,500 researchers, scientists, epidemiologists, everything that was bad that we're finding out now, they knew then, and therefore they lied. And they lied about natural immunity. They lied about the emergency use authorization, that there was no other treatment that could help. These are serious lies. As I said yesterday in my program, please download and share the article with Tucker Carlson, with Joe Rogan. It's there. It's all about, we had a successful therapy proven by clinical experience, epidemiological experience, and they refused to allow it to be used. Okay? All they're doing now is backtracking, but now at least they're being challenged under oath, and this is before the lawsuits happen. That's it today. I didn't have anyone call in, or I would have taken your calls. Let me just mention that coming up in just 3 months, actually less, we're going to be having our next fundraiser for this radio station, and we're going to have health and nutrition. We're going to have wonderful lectures, phenomenal food by an outstanding kitchen staff headed by a chef that has been the chief chef in 4 Michelin-rated restaurants. You don't get better than that. And outstanding lectures. We have Cecilia, who's phenomenal at teaching, all kinds of gym exercise. We have a whole group teaching meditation. It's just going to be spectacular in one of the most beautiful sites in America, and a fully functioning hydroponic house, mushrooms growing. We have all that. And so you'll have a chance to have all kinds of workshops and fermenting foods. And I'll be doing some workshops specifically on best places at that point to live based upon what is happening in America at that time. And I think you'll find that important as well. If you want to join us, we're always full and we don't take a lot of people. Try to keep it around 30, so everybody has plenty of space and opportunity, and you get counseling too. Call 903-881-7008, 903-881-7008. Ask for Luann, and hopefully then you can come down and de-stress, detoxify, get some real cleansing and patience, and just look at your life and ask, what have you not done that you'd like to do? Don't start looking at bucket lists. That's when you have given up and say, well, before I die, I want to do these things. Why not say, before I die, I want to live again, maybe authentically for the first time? It's a hoot. It's a lot of fun. 903-881-7008. Now we're going right over to Yatrice Leet, who is standing by.